Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. Calling to you live this week from a very rainy and stormy Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I have got my good friend and co-host, the story lady herself, Rhonda Del Baccio from ProfitableStorytelling.com on the phone with us today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Hello, hello. Wonderful to be here, as always, from beautiful, sunny, and cool Branson, Missouri. There's not a cloud in the whole state of Missouri, apparently.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Rhonda, before we get started, I have got to tell you about my weekend.
Oh, please do. I'm all ears.
I was in seventh heaven this weekend. You know, today's show is all about time-saving shortcuts. And today, our cell phones, especially our smartphones, are really our biggest time-saving shortcuts, aren't they, Rhonda?
Yeah, they sure can be. When you, like anything else, when you use it to its best efficiency, yes.
Well, last week, my phone finally died. I had an Android, a Google phone, a G1. So I've been looking forward to getting my new G2 for months. Wouldn't you know, 3 days before I went to go buy it, they took it off the market. So I'm like all bummed out. I can't get my new G2. I've been drooling over it for 6 months. But I am so grateful that they took that darn phone off the market, because I got something even better.
Mm-hmm.
I got an HTC MySlide 4GT, which means that it has television on my phone.
Unbelievable.
So on Saturday, it was the Notre Dame opener. And I sat here watching TV on my phone and on the TV simultaneously. It was the coolest. I felt like a little kid in a candy store.
I'm sure that you did, and I was thinking about with the Notre Dame game.
Did you see any of it or hear any of it?
No, I'm not really a football fan, but I know that you are, and I know that you went to Notre Dame, and a friend of mine, Sarah, is a Gators fan, and she was talking about how she just becomes this obsessed person, and I know that's how you are about Notre Dame.
Well, it was the wildest game ever. I mean, literally ever. A football game's usually, what, three and a half hours, maybe 4 hours at the longest?
Yeah.
The game kicked off at 3:30. The game finished at 11 o'clock.
Holy cow, how many overtimes did they have?
Zero.
Oh.
Halfway,
okay.
We get to the halftime. At halftime, there's a nasty thunderstorm that's come up. And because of the thunderstorm, there's a new NCAA rule that says if there's lightning within 8 miles of the stadium, it must be evacuated. So they have to first evacuate the stadium because of the lightning. So, okay, 2 hour game delay while we wait for the storm to pass. So we come back from that, and everybody goes in and gets in the stadium. 80,000 people have to reassemble. So they do. Get the game back on. Play the third quarter. Play about 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. When all of a sudden the lightning comes back again, they have to stop and evacuate the stadium again with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Oh,
Oh, my gosh. So twice they evacuated. First time in Notre Dame history that they've ever had to evacuate the stadium. And it was amazing how many of the 80,000 people came back, even when the last 11 minutes of the game. I mean, the stadium was jam-packed at 11 o'clock at night.
Unbelievable.
Hysterical. And we lost by 3 points.
Oh, they lost.
Yeah.
Aww.
You know, there's some lessons in that Notre Dame game.
Well, let's hear
it. We lost totally because of our stupidity. We had two flubbed field goals. That would have been 6 points. We only lost by three. We had a touchdown that would have been an additional 6 points, except that we had a face mask penalty on the play, so the points didn't count. There were 12 points right there that would have clearly won the football game.
Right.
And on the first drive of the game and the first drive of the second half both, we get possession. We make amazing plays, one after another, after another, after another. We get down to the two-yard line. Clearly, we've got four tries to get it into the end zone. Both drives, don't we flub up and end up fumbling the ball, and they end up getting it back and scoring off of it? So, you know, playing a good game isn't always enough to win the game. You really need to watch those errors, because little errors like that can really cost you the results in the end.
Yes. And that's a really good lesson, is looking for what are the small errors. It's not the big, obvious, stupid mistakes that cost the game for Notre Dame. It's the little
Precisely.
Stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they really, for the most part, they played so well all day. But it was the little things that really made the biggest impact and really cost them the game in the end.
And that usually is, and that's why, that's one of the reasons why we're dealing with, you know, time savers. It's a good follow-up to last week's show, rather, to do time savers and shortcuts, because there are a lot of times where people end up putting too much time into the wrong stuff or not realizing where there could be the kind of shortcuts or time savers that can make all the difference in your results.
And sometimes they seem like they're such small little things that people do wrong, but it literally costs them all of the results. There's no win, just like at Notre Dame, no win this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So, tell me about your very favorite time-saving shortcut, Rhonda.
Well, you know, actually, my favorite time-saving shortcut is actually not a thing as much as it is a question.
Ooh.
Okay.
I am curious now.
Yeah, I got your attention with that.
You did.
The brain cannot resist a question. The human brain, the minute there's any kind of a question or something dangling, the brain just must go out and find an answer. And so there can be more than one, but my favorite time-saving and shortcut-related question is, what one thing can I do right now to bring the biggest results?
Oh, what a great question. You should start your day with that question.
I do.
And then all day long, keep asking it again and again and again. Every time you finish one more thing, ask it again.
You're right, absolutely. And because everybody has, let's just say, excuse me. Sorry, cat hair in my throat, I guess. Anyway, everybody has 10 or 20 or 50 things that they could do. And so what's that one thing that'll bring the biggest result? Because that's the thing you should do. And that thing sometimes takes 2 hours, but sometimes it takes 10 minutes. Sometimes it's not that it takes the most time to make it happen, but sometimes it's that one phone call or that putting one thing in action or finishing off one thing or whatever. that's going to lead you to the money, lead you to the result. And so for me, that's an awesome question that I love to ask.
And I ask myself a similar question, but it's worded slightly different. So for me, the question is, what one thing can I do that can bring the biggest result possible with the least amount of effort and time?
Yeah.
That's an important part of the question, I think. It's implied in what you said.
Yeah, but you stated it right out.
Yeah. Because the idea is not to sit there and struggle for hours and hours and hours. The idea is to really get something accomplished that really gets results quickly.
Yes. That's great. And fabulous. And Fritz must agree with you there.
Oh, he must. Today is the first day of a new routine here at the Graves House.
Really?
I have been asked to stop smoking in the cabin that we're renting until April. And Bill had decided for me that that meant we had to move. And I said, well, look, if I'm ever going to quit smoking, there's no way living in a place that I can smoke is going to help me do that. Why don't we use this as a really golden opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
At least I can cut back.
Mm-hmm.
So as of today, I now have to go outside to smoke.
Ah.
Only every time I come back in, Fritz barks.
The dog goes ballistic, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'm really going to have to stop a little bit more than I had originally planned, sooner than I had originally planned.
Well, life does provide its unique incentives sometimes, doesn't it?
There you go. But I decided that it was definitely better not to move and to give me that incentive than to move to someplace else that I could actually smoke in.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially if you have expressed a desire to quit.
Oh, I've tried quitting. I can't count how many times, Rhonda.
Right.
Just never actually accomplished it yet.
Exactly. You and so many people, a friend of mine finally did, and she had been smoking for years, and there was a point when she was such a chimney of that I had lived in the upstairs of her house, and I had to move because I couldn't handle the amount of smoke coming up the stairs, even though I didn't have any up at my house, my part.
Oh, my goodness.
And
wait a minute, let's go back to our time-saving shortcuts, because there's a lot we can talk about today on this show.
Sorry, but yes, there definitely is. So we started off with these questions, each of us, and I think a question is always a good place to start, no matter whatever the topic is, ask yourself the question that will help you get to the results with as little effort as possible. And we always talk about leverage on this show and getting more done with less effort. That's kind of the point. It's not that you want to be working in all those little minutiae and details of your business. You want to be able to get out of that. So in asking yourself a question, like what one thing can I do that will bring about the biggest and best results with the least effort, that's going to cause your brain to sift through the various things that are available for you to do or that you could do and realize what's going to get you to that best result.
Yeah, and I would start with planning your day by asking that question. One of the tools that I mentioned last week is a tool that's available at askggg.com/action. askggg.com/action. It's called the Action Machine Pro. And it's a tool that you use to both plan your to-do list and actually accomplish your to-do list. A great way to use that tool is to start by asking yourself this question. What one action can I take that will get me the biggest amount of results with the least amount of time and effort? If you start there and then go through using the tool to help you plan out what you're going to do that day, and then use the tool to help you actually do what you set out to do for the day, you would really start to see a big impact pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah, and so that's a good thing. It's always about having not only the mindset of wanting to do more with less effort and so forth, but then actually having the tools, the skills, and the resources at your disposal to make it happen.
Absolutely.
So with this action time, that's a really great addition that can get things moving.
So we start with the question, what comes next?
So once you have the question, and then it's a matter of getting to that answer, and then to me it's that blocking out the space to take that action to completion. Last week
yes.
we already had talked about the foibles of multitasking and how that's not the good idea that you and I and most, you know, I used to think it is, and most people still think it is. So that's really, you know, one of those things is to take that action to completion, or if there is a piece of information or something else that's needed to make sure to get that in motion and get that resource to you so that you can make it happen.
Exactly. So let's talk about some of the tasks that might be on your to-do list when you start by asking that question, shall we?
Sure, absolutely.
So if you're asking that question, what kinds of things might show up on your to-do list that day?
Well, it can be any number of things. There can be things around product creation, or it can be things around writing blog posts. It might be things around, people might find things on their to-do list like social bookmarking, and I've got a great shortcut for that. So there are all kinds of things that could be on your list as to whether which one of those is going to be the most important. Just depends on the person and what's happening in your business. But
well, let's talk about that for a little bit. That's kind of where I wanted to go with this.
Right.
Quite often, one of the big mistakes that I see my students make is they spend so much time, effort, and energy doing things that are not really going to produce results quickly, namely blog posts. They
mm-hmm.
struggle and struggle and struggle to get their blog posts written. And they think that the reason they're doing that is because it's going to get them better results faster than anything else they can do. And actually, that's not really what ends up happening, because it's not the way it works. Here's
mm-hmm.
what happens. Especially when you're kind of new, you really haven't had a lot of experience, you haven't had a lot of results. When you first get started with your blog, traffic is going to come in at a trickle. It is not going to be very significant at all. It's not too terribly tough to get your traffic levels up to 50 to 100 visitors a day. But to get anything over 50 to 100 visitors a day consistently really requires something more than just writing blog posts. Until you have a list of 500 to 1,000 subscribers that you're mailing on a regular basis to build relationships with, that you're sending to your blog on a regular basis as well, rarely do you get up much over that 50 to 100 visitors a day mark. And it's not really the blogging that will cause that list to get there. If you set out just blogging to build a list of 500 to 1,000 subscribers, it's probably going to take you somewhere on the order of 2 to 3 years to accomplish that goal. On the other hand, if while you're blogging, you go out and do something intentionally to build your list, something like some teleconferences and webinars that are hosted by JV Partners, for example,
uh-huh.
you can build the list in well under 30 days, getting from nothing to 500 to 1,000 subscribers. And once you have the list, it looks like the traffic just exploded overnight. It's not just the list that's generating the traffic. It's a combination of things that are generating the traffic. It's in part the fact that as you're building that list, you're out talking to people, and those people are out talking to people too. and the combination of the two starts to generate traffic. That's part of it. The other part of it is as you're going out doing that stuff, you're talking to people too, and it's generating more people noticing you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily improve your search engine rankings when you're going out focused on building the list, but it's as if the people who are out there interested in what you're doing start taking a notice of you in a different way and at a different level. And so traffic does miraculously start to explode. So you really need to know where you're at in the process to know what one action is likely to get you the biggest possible results with the least amount of time and effort. And if you don't really know the answer to that question, don't continue to do the same things over and over again, not getting results with what you're doing. You got to go out and try some different things to see what might get you better results rather than continuing to do the same things over and over again, somehow expecting that the results will change, even though nothing you did changed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and so when you're really talking about understanding, there's a couple of aspects to this, Gina. One of them is, where are you in your business?
Yes.
Another one of them is, what is really, if you will, the prize? If they keep your eyes on
yes.
the prize, what is the thing? Right, so if you're only focusing on just blogging and doing those things that can give you footprints on Google and will, you know, bring in search engine traffic and whatever, if you are only focusing on that, you're missing out on the fact that it's like bringing traffic in the hard way to do just that.
Correct.
And so what you're talking about is that the prize is really in getting enough eyeballs on what you're doing. But that can ultimately not only cause people to come to your blog and see your posts and maybe sign up on your RSS feed and all those things, but that can also then turn into conversions ultimately.
Precisely. And this is tied to the other mistake that I see folks making quite often in my students, and that is going out doing the things that you should be doing. So you're going out intentionally trying to build the list while at the same time doing the blogging to build the relationships. And while doing the right things, doing them in a way that can't make you money because you have nothing there to make you money. Oh, my goodness. You have no idea how many times a week I see this. It's awful. Oh, well, I'll get something to sell next week. Let me get the traffic first. Well, you know,
yeah, but
it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and, you know, a couple of posts aren't going to be bringing someone who's brand new significant enough traffic, and then that's fine to have it, then what's going to happen? One of the biggest pieces of a blog post is the call to action.
Yeah.
Without that, there's really no point in blogging.
Right.
Unless it's just a personal blog and you just want to rant out your things, and, you know, I mean, I will do that every once in a while, but that's not something that's done to make money, obviously. That's just a way to get your, you know, get your feelings out. So, you know, if you're blogging for business, the whole point is to use that to grow your business. And so there has to be a call to action. It can't be a suggestion of possibility and, oh, I'll come up with something next week, so stay tuned. No one will do that.
Right. And if you wait too long to get the thing that's going to make you money in front of those new visitors, then they're going to have forgotten about you long before they ever do something that could make you money. So you can't really wait to do it. You got to have at least one thing from the start. Now, the other issue that's tied to that is only having one low-end product that you can sell, maybe as an affiliate, not having anything else that you can sell the people that bought that one thing. Oh, my goodness, between the combination of those two things, not having anything to sell and then not having a second thing to sell, do you have any idea how much money folks are leaving on the table just from those two little things? It's huge.
Yeah,
Yeah. I mean, it really is. And it's sad because it's like this weird cycle that happens, is that people don't have, nobody starts off with the voice of an expert right away. Nobody starts off with that sense where whatever you write or say or whatever, people will follow you because they pick up on the value of what you're saying. It doesn't come automatically. So when somebody first, all the hesitation and fear and whatever, it's like if I could give people a brain transplant into that expert space to where they would just say what you said with confidence instead of the way it mostly comes out in the beginning for people, it would be phenomenal.
Sure would, wouldn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. And that's a significant thing. So this is all tying back to figuring out what is going to be the shortcut, what is going to be the thing that helps you. So in a lot of ways, getting the list is definitely a shortcut and focusing on that. Doesn't mean you totally forsake the blogging, because that's partly how you develop the voice of an expert. So how is somebody who's in that space, Gina, saying, well, I'm kind of new, I'm just starting, or I'm not quite there with my expert voice, I'm out there list building, how do I figure out, you know, how much should I be blogging, how much should I be list building, how can I figure out where is that best place that's going to be making that shortcut work? What would you tell them?
Well, when you're first getting started, you need so many different things. And you need them all at the same time. There isn't a one thing is more important than the other. You need a product to sell, and that product should simultaneously build relationships. While you can use other people's products that you sell as an affiliate, having at least one product of your own that really makes you into the expert in your field is really, really powerful and extremely important. At the same time, you also need content on your site that's going to both build relationships as well as generate traffic. They're both equally important. There isn't one versus the other that you need. So going back to something you said earlier, that we talk often on this show about the concept of leverage. Because they are both equally important to your business, you want to find ways of using leverage to accomplish both things at the same time. So the first week to a month that you're blogging, don't blog just for the sake of blogging. Blog in a way that will let you create content that you can repurpose to create a product of your own by the end of that month. If you were blogging 3 to 5 times a week for a month, you would have more than enough content by the end of the month to create one product of your own by the end of the month. Don't you think, Rhonda?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that leads me to a shortcut I want to talk about soon, but absolutely, yeah.
So do things in a way that will let you accomplish multiple results at the same time, is what I'm basically saying. It's not a tool, but it definitely is a way to really get more done. You don't have to go out and create 10 gazillion different articles. What you really need is to write a small number of articles that get repurposed in a variety of different ways. Leverage, right?
Right.
And by the end of that first month of blogging, when you then have enough content to create a product of your own, even if it's a free report or a low-priced product, then it makes sense to really switch gears a little bit, back off of writing all this new content to get the stuff that you need, and start focusing instead on going out and building that list, and everything you do until you get the list of 500 to 1,000 people is geared around building that list. You've got enough content to use to be able to do that for quite a while, and just focus your attention on doing nothing but that until the goal has been accomplished. And while you're doing that, if you did that, say, the second month after you were blogging for 1 month, switched gears to going into building the list, by the end of that second month, you should be at around 200 to 300 visitors a day. You can easily have 500 to 1,000 subscribers, even if you only did 4 teleconferences or webinars with JV partners the prior month. So it only, if each call could put 100 people on the call, that means somewhere between 200 and 400 people per call onto your list. 4 calls would be around 800, maybe as many as 1,200 subscribers. That's all you need to really start seeing consistent sales on a regular basis.
Yeah. The other thing that I want to bring up in terms of time saving and shortcuts is it's this whole idea of using what you have. And it's been fun in actually working with some of your students to help them put out little Kindle mini books that are taken from their own blog posts or their own special reports or whatever. It's like suddenly people are getting the, oh, you mean I don't just have to write the post and then that's it. I can use this in other ways. And between that and your teachings, it's helping them realize that once you have it in the post, that's not the end of it. It can be inside of products. Even if the same basic material is in a post or a free report or a product or a book, it doesn't mean that you can't use it for those things. One of my examples of that is I have a book that is entirely made up of blog posts. Well, if you went to ProfitableStorytelling.com, you'd have to be searching around for a very long time to figure out which posts and the format would be different and the way it's packaged would be different, and so the experience is different.
Yeah.
And that's a great shortcut.
I highly doubt that anyone buying that book, it would even realize that the same content is available elsewhere on your site for free.
Uh-uh.
Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, Rhonda, that same stuff's on your website for free, why are you selling it?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, and no one's ever noticed it, or even if something was familiar, it's just in the same way that you might talk, all of us talk about certain things in different ways repeatedly to help people understand, and that's all. No one's ever once said to me, well, I feel like you shouldn't have sold this because it's available for free on your site. Well, fine. Even if somebody did, I'd be like, okay, so you go, and how much time would it take you to assemble all of that? And now you have it in one place where everything that makes sense being put together is all put together for you instead of having people searching around.
And, you know, I don't know that I've ever talked about this on this show before, but one of the things that I realized a few years back was how often people really can hear the same material and yet get new stuff out of it every time they hear it. And this was something that was a huge eye-opener for me a few years ago. I did a series of 15 teleconferences over a 15-day period. We had 3 different topics that were covered. We talked about each of the 3 topics 5 times, so each one. And at the end of the 15 webinars, we had over a dozen people that had purchased the exact same pitch at the end multiple times. Several people bought it as many as 4 times. And we're talking a $497 coaching program. It was not a low-end $27 ebook or something. It was a very expensive program. And it really shocked the heck out of me that people would be buying the same product repeatedly, not realizing it. They really didn't even realize that it was the same product. And it wasn't that we were trying to pull the wool over their eyes or anything. It was they heard different things each time they heard the call.
Right.
And because each person is in a different place each time they hear the content, they may end up coming in and buying the product and the call to action multiple times. And I'll tell you what, when we pointed out to them, hey, you know, we just wanted to let you know that you bought this multiple times. We want to refund your money. We had several of them who really did not want a refund because they learned something about themselves because of the experience, which was even more enlightening, right? Now I'm going, oh, my goodness, I'll never figure people out.
I know. Well, and it's funny because it's part of it. I know in part where that comes from because the brain has something called the reticular activating system, or the RAS, and that's the type of thing where, like, let's say that your niece or your best friend or your whoever, and your, you know, gets pregnant, and all of a sudden you seem to find, like, half the world seems to be pregnant. It's just because you were noticing that. Or if you're looking for a new cell phone, you're noticing everybody's cell phone, and you're asking them about it, or you're going, oh, what feature, or does it do this, does it do that, whatever. You're noticing that. If you're looking for a new SUV, you're noticing every SUV that's out there, whatever, all those kind of things, you know. And so if your brain is keyed in to look for a particular thing and you're on a call, your brain is already sorting for you for that particular call. It's like a question in your brain. And so it is very interesting that that happens. And so what we never know when somebody comes to a post or a call or a whatever that we've created, a product, is we never know what it is that somebody has just been experiencing that's causing that reticular activator to click onto a particular thing.
Precisely. And they may not even know at a conscious level.
You know, because it might, sometimes it is conscious. I'm looking for a new SUV, whatever. But a lot of times it's just because of experiences that have happened, or your brain starts to notice patterns, even if you weren't specifically asking it to notice that pattern. But on that subconscious level, your brain is picking it up for you.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Well, I think all of these things that we've been talking about are really important, especially for someone who's just starting out, who's trying to figure out what did you first, what did you second, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could get the process down in a more concise way for those who are trying to figure this out, but there really isn't a more precise step one, step two, step three, step four. Each business is slightly different. Each business model is slightly different. Your area of expertise is different from the next person's. And the best we can give you is really just some generic guidelines the way that we're talking about them right now. The question that we started talking about at the beginning of the show, asking yourself, what one thing can you take action on that's likely to give you the biggest results with the least amount of effort, is really the key, if you will, to figuring out what you personally should be doing as opposed to the next person down the road who's also still trying to build a business just like you are.
Right. One thing that we can say is if you think about it this way, it'll help. Like when learning any new skills, and this is something I remember from Mark Joyner's work, and he was talking about it in the context of the military, where there are different skills that need to happen and be at the A level, be at their best for. And once you practice one skill, you get better at that, but the others fall off a little bit. And so what would happen is they would take and rotate between areas of focus. So it would be, you know, maybe physical stuff one day, maybe it would be work-related stuff the next day, whatever. And that's the same thing that Mark talks about in his Simpleology 101 course, which is free, and you can grab that at profitablestorytelling.com/Simpleology. But so if you take that into your business and you go, okay, so I need to be blogging, even though maybe you're new and you're still developing your voice, you know that that needs to happen, at least some, right? And you know that you need to build a list. And you know that you need to build relationships with people who could be experts in your field, JV partners or whatever. If you switch between those three and make sure to work on them one after the another in a rotation, that is going to be something that does you a lot of good. No, we can't give you an exact do this number one and this number two. But that kind of an idea, at least, I think can help people to get the idea. If your focus is blogging for the first month, and then it's list building, and then maybe it's going to be relationship building, and then back to blogging. If you're doing things like that, then you're going to be able to grow.
Absolutely. Yeah, very good suggestion. So let's talk about some of those specific tasks for a little bit and see if we can't come up with some shortcuts that you and I have for doing them.
Uh-huh.
So let's look first at the blogging, since that's what you tend to do your first month.
Yeah.
What are some shortcuts that you have for blogging, Rhonda?
Well, I mean, one of them that you actually teach people is, to me, anytime you have a template or a recipe or a formula, whichever word you want to use, it expresses the same idea. When you have that recipe to follow, that means that you can take whatever material you have, pop it into the recipe, and you know what path you need to follow. And so that is your simple six-step blogging process of how you actually assemble the post. And so to me, that is a shortcut. Because
I agree.
Because you're not just going out there and going, well, let's see, what do I say next? How do I put this together? You just follow that little trail of breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of them. And also just the idea of knowing that you need to use keywords in particular places, knowing that you need to have an image, just knowing that you need to have it. I mean, you still have to find it. But knowing that you want to have it in there is helpful because it just makes sure you can add those kind of things to a checklist, make sure that they're all in place, and there you go. And because you know it's there, it makes it easier for you. There's no guesswork, in other words.
Yes. And so the first part of the simple six-step process is write a post using the magic formula for writing a powerful post.
Mm-hmm.
And what that magic formula is about is it's both a template for what to say in your blog post as well as the place that your keywords go in each blog post, because
right.
That's what really drives the results. We had an interesting discussion over the weekend on the Saturday morning mentoring call for the bachelor's program. And we were talking about the concept of curating content. More often than not, when I'm talking about blogging, you hear me say over and over again that the one thing you cannot outsource in your business is writing the content for your blog, that has to be you because it has to be your voice. And while I mean that wholly, the concept of curating content is one that can really make it so much easier to create the content that you need for your blog, even
yes.
if you don't write 100% of it yourself. So, Rhonda, it would be a good idea to talk about that because the idea behind curating content is very much a shortcut
yes.
in and of itself.
We need to have a whole show on this, and I'd love to have Don join us and be able to do that very soon. That's a very good idea. Yeah, but in short for right now, imagine that it's not just pulling in somebody else's stuff, but it's giving it some kind of a context, right? So I always talk about there's content, just the stuff, and then the context. Why does it matter to you, or how can you make this relevant? So even if you grab somebody else's top 10 list or whatever it might happen to be, and you pull different things in, but you give it a particular spin. Like if I were to pull in a bestseller list, for example, I could take it in one post, talk about the covers, the best book covers. Another one I could take and talk about the best titles and why they work, or, you know, for why they didn't, those kinds of things. So there'd be a lot of ways to give some additional information that would be from me or from you in your niche that would bring that particular content to life and give it a context that makes sense for that person's life. Plus, you can add then a call to action that leads them to something that'll make you money, because just showing somebody else's stuff in and of itself does not make you money.
Right. Yeah, really good
short course in content curation.
Well, thank you for that, Rhonda. So the whole idea with content curation is that while you do need to write your content yourself, it's not saying that you have to write every single piece of it yourself. You want to get to the point where the first month, write your own content because you need your content to leverage that content to create the other things that you're going to need. Emails to send to your subscribers, info products to generate leads for something else that you've got to sell, etc.
Right.
But once you've got enough content to actually allow you to accomplish those outcomes, you can start backing off of having to create every word of that content yourself. And the beautiful part about the idea of content curation is the fact that if you think about how it serves your audience when you're doing the content curation, it is an amazing way to really serve your audience. The search engines get this in a big way. They realize fully how much content there is out there, and they know that there is no way that any one individual could ever get through all of the information on a given topic online. There's just too much of it. So the search engines aren't necessarily looking for you to go out and create more of the stuff that's already out there. But they really would love someone who goes out and picks and chooses the best of the best of the best stuff out there, and then combines it in a unique way that gives more value to the readers. They really realize how much that will serve people and how much time that will save people, and they love the website owners that end up doing that. A lot of times people talk about this whole idea of curating content with the concern being that it's going to create duplicate content that could get them in trouble from an SEO perspective. In fact, it's quite the opposite, actually. Because the search engines really get how much this serves people, they actually reward you if you really don't try to pull the wool over someone's eyes and make it look like it's your own content. You're only going to get in trouble with this strategy if you're out there trying to make it sound like it's your stuff when it's not. So if you're open and above board and honest and you tell people, hey, look, you know, over on the Yahoo Answers site, there's a bunch of great questions related to heart failure. I thought I'd give you my opinion on these questions as well. And you pull in a bunch of Yahoo Answers. You then annotate the answers with your own opinion, include some links to a resource. What a great way to serve your readers.
Right.
How about pulling in content from a forum and doing the same thing? Don't just regurgitate what's already been out there. Add value to it. Include additional resources that save time, help save money, or help make money. And you've got a really good little resource that people would probably even pay you to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
That's just really the great way to think about is that you're not only saving time, but you're serving your audience. The other thing for people who are newer is it's helping you develop your expert voice, right?
It really does.
The reason is because you're going through and you're not just pulling in a feed and letting it alone or whatever, but you're actually making some commentary on it. So you're developing, and you're actually, I think it's often easier for people to respond to something else of others because, like, if you hear something that just really ticks you off because you know better and you don't really want people to be persuaded by something bad, you will have no bones about saying, no, this is really dumb and here's why, or here's how you should do it. You'll do that. Whereas if it's your own post and you're coming up with the whole thing off the top of your head, sometimes for newer folks that's harder.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's really a shortcut to developing your voice.
Well, and that that leads very nicely into yet another shortcut.
Yeah.
So it is absolutely essential that you do develop your own voice as an expert. Even if your plans are to sell other people's products as an affiliate, you don't ever intend to have your own products. You've got to have a reason for people to buy from you instead of the competition. So if you're not going to be the expert, why is it that they would want to buy from you instead of the other affiliate that's incorporating 10 gazillion bonuses when you buy from his or her affiliate link, right?
Right.
So how do you develop this voice of an expert? Well, one of the things we've started noticing with My Instant Video, and for our listeners who aren't aware of My Instant Video, this is a tool that I launched about 6 weeks ago for the first time. It's been in beta for 15 months. And it takes your content on your blog, first converts it to audio, then converts it to video, puts your audio and video onto the top of the post with a little button that says audio content reader or video content reader, then assembles the audios into an audio podcast, the videos into a video podcast, and adds a fourth RSS feed that's a multimedia feed. Well, one of the things that people have started realizing as they're using My Instant Video is how different their content sounds when it's read out loud in the video or in the audio, as opposed to when they're reading it on the page. And just by taking content, both yours and other people's, curating it, repurposing it, etc., and really putting it into multiple creative formats, it's already doing a great job of giving value by putting it into multiple creative formats. And it will help you to come up with what your voice should be much, much faster, much, much easier, because you've got the ability to hear it instead of just see it.
Yep.
So that's another really good shortcut tip that I have seen huge improvements in my students' writing in the recent past as they've started using My Instant Video. What looks good in a video, what sounds good in a video, is really going, it's going to be very different than the way that most people write naturally. And it takes a little bit of practice to realize that and figure it out and develop a style that works for you in the long run. But boy, when you do figure it out, it sure does make a huge difference in your results in the end.
I also think it helps people to unlearn some bad habits, like in English class or in whatever your native language class would be. A lot of times in writing, you're taught, you know, have these big, huge paragraphs and all that. And that stuff doesn't work in blogging. And it's partly it's partly because people don't have enough, very much attention span. But it's partly that it actually helps people separate out those chunks in their brain when you write in shorter paragraphs. And I remember getting into a big disagreement with a writer one time who is a fiction writer and does articles, and she's going, your paragraphs, you're so short. Mine are so many, they're only one sentence. Some of them are only phrases. I mean, that's okay to do that once in a while. Why don't you do that so much? You know, that type of thing. I said, actually, it serves the reader better to have those fragments separated out in people's minds when they can see it as a separate paragraph. It allows their brain to put a space around that and really retain the information much better. And so My Instant Video is one thing that can help people, because you see that if there's a huge paragraph, it looks horrible on the screen. If there's 10 or 12 lines of type, it's all small, it's all smashed in. Whereas if there's one sentence or two sentences or, you know, a shorter piece, then it comes out, it's nicely framed, it's spoken as one unit. It's all nice and separate. It sounds better.
Sure does. And it just takes a little bit of practice to get that down. But it definitely is a time-saving shortcut, in my opinion, because it can make such a big difference in the end.
I want to mention another time saver, as I see how short our time is here, but for social bookmarking, that's one of those things that needs to get done, and yet it can be time-consuming if you do it the long way.
Yeah.
Whereas if you take your posts and the things that you comment on and so forth, and you want a social bookmark on several sites, there is a Firefox add-on that's called Shareaholic. Shareaholic. And that plugin lets you assemble a list of all the places that you want to bookmark. Then you would simply open the link in a new tab in Firefox. You right-click on it if you're, or command-click if you're in the Mac, it's right-click for PC. Use the Shareaholic plugin to go and pop it off to Dig Delicious, Google Buzz, and LinkedIn and various other places. And it will take you a matter of just a few minutes per post, whereas many other methods would take you a half hour each. This can be done in like 5 minutes each.
Wow, that's an awesome shortcut tool. Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just a free add-on for Firefox called Shareaholic. So that's a great one to use, and it makes it so easy to do that task, which can be tedious. And look at this, even if you are outsourcing it, if somebody is going to come, if you're going to have five comments on a blog post using your same keyword plus your own, with those six items, within a half hour, they should be able to do all that bookmarking. That thing used to take maybe 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours to do all that.
Yeah, easily.
You can hit the highlights, hit the biggest ones, and even one of them can be Ping FM, which does a lot of leveraging for you, and let that be one of them that you went to, and then accomplish it within a half hour. Then you have that time for the help that you have to do something else.
And, you know, one other thing we should definitely mention as we're talking about time-saving shortcuts is don't always run right out and buy the latest, greatest tool if it's really not going to serve you to do so. I can't tell you how many people I see every single week going out spending hundreds of dollars on tools that they never use. They just sit on their hard drive and they do nothing. Some of them even spend hundreds of dollars a month and do nothing. You know, it might make you feel better because you spent the money on that time-saving shortcut tool, but if it's not getting you any better results, throw it away.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's a good idea at least once a month to reevaluate what tools you're actually spending money on and look back and ask yourself, what did I get as a return on my investment? How much money did I make this month because of my availability of using this particular tool? And if it's not more than what you spent in the last month to use the tool, get rid of it. If it is more, ask yourself if you're getting what you should be out of the tool, or could you do something different to make even more money with it? I have a hard, fast rule in my business, and that is if I'm going to spend money on a tool, I must recoup my investment plus a profit in under 72 hours. If I can't, I will not make the investment in the first place. And it's really served me very well over the years to do it that way. I started doing it because I didn't have a choice. I couldn't afford not to because I needed so much money for my medications every month when I was sick. Now I continue having this rule in place because it does serve me so well.
Right. And the other thing is, along piggybacking with that, Gina, is if you have a tool, can you get even more use out of it than what is intended? Now, here's a perfect example with my instant video. Phenomenal time-saving tool. Yes, it requires a monthly investment, which is, in my estimation, totally worth it. But aside from turning your blog post into the videos and audios and whatever, think about if you have a membership site and using things that are in your membership site or info products and using the tool to create audio and videos to go with your info products on autopilot without extra effort on your part. How awesome is that?
Yeah. Good point. Well, we are way out of time, Rhonda, so we are going to have to cut out of here. So thank you so much, everyone, for being here. I agree with Rhonda's comment earlier. We have got to do a show on content creation curation sometime in the near future. That would be a great.
Yeah, I'm going to check with Don on that right away. And great.